and welcome to Animates, bringing you stories about animals and how we connect with them. This programme is recorded in the studios of 2RPH in Sydney for the RPH Network. I'm Monica Fulton, and with me today I have a lovely lady, Keren, but Keren isn't sitting by herself. Next to her is a gorgeous, cuddly, furry bundle called Mackie. Keren, would you like to tell me a little bit about Mackie?
Hello, Monica. Yeah, look, Mackie is 2 years old. He is a Shih Tzu poodle, and he's been training for all his life as an assistance dog. He is an assistance to my daughter, Jennifer. She did suffer depression, then discovered that she had serious problems with medicines, and so she suffered a traumatic brain injury. So he assists her amazingly.
How did he first come into your lives?
We were looking for a dog for her that would be able to train as an assistance dog. She'd had a Shih Tzu previously who was just incredible. And so we were looking for Shih Tzu, but because the other one had a lot of skin itching and dermatitis, we looked for a cross to get, hopefully, not have so much. So we got the poodle Shih Tzu cross. I think they're called Shoodles. One of the mini
Schnoodle. A Schnoodle. What training did he have, and what extra training was needed for Jennifer's particular needs?
Well, we have someone who actually does train mine dogs, and she trained not only Mackie, but she's had to train all Jennifer's support workers, so they're all doing the same thing. So initially it was all the basic training for a dog, sit, walk, stay. There was a lot of stair work where he'd have to wait. He has to learn to sniff. So he sniffs. He's allowed to go out and he's got to sit before he sniffs. And then he sniffs. So he's got to wee on command. So that's how we teach him. So he's got the message, except he very much wants to sniff. So when he's working, he's not allowed to sniff. He's got to keep staying with her. He keeps her pretty focused. He knows when she's distressed, so he'll respond immediately.
In what way does he respond when she's distressed?
If she's distressed in her room, he'll go barking up the stairs straight into her room, let her know he's there, and she'll often just calm straight down. Jennifer disassociates a great deal. So if she's out and about, the first thing she does, she'll start disassociating. So that's how she copes with being in strange places or even known places. The trauma is huge, so everything's traumatic. So he'll just walk along beside her and it keeps her much more focused. So those two things, the focus. Just recently she was in the emergency department for a day and he either lay on her or at the end of the bed or a couple of times on the floor, and he only went out once.
Wow.
And it was wonderful. It was wonderful.
Yes. When you were looking for this second assistance dog who didn't shed, were you looking for any special attributes? Were there a special kind of dog that particular empathy for people or particularly?
Because we knew the Shih Tzu had been so incredibly sensitive. When she first got him, he used to sleep on her bed and we were up, had a townhouse, two-storey. And then she was taking a drug called quintupine. And when she took it, within 2 hours, she'd almost immediately she'd become completely debilitated and have to go to bed. 2 hours later, she'd wake up in quite a distressed state. But he'd be on the bed and I'd hear him hit the floor and he'd come running down the stairs straight under my chair. I'd be doing some sewing and watching television. Maybe 5-10 minutes, I'd hear her hit the floor and come down. Everything gets turned off. All the lights, the television, absolutely everything. And she'd go and sit down. I was like, oh. I just think, oh, she's being really bloody-minded. So I get up and turn it all on again.
So she came down and turned everything off, did
absolutely
she?
Absolutely everything. And noise, lights, anything sensory. And because I thought she's being bloody-minded, I turned it all back on. And the dog started butting me in the calf every time I went to stand up. Mm. And this happened, I'd turn it on again, and then the dog would start knocking me in the back. And she'd turn it off. And then I started, because I was thinking, what's the dog trying to tell me? And I started looking at her, and I saw her, she absolutely gripping the chair with all her might.
Oh, God.
You could see her whole body is trying to control. You can see she's in total state of agony. And maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes, her legs would start shooting out everywhere. And then after some time, she'd get out and go and make a cup of tea or come and sit down. The dog would run out and sit on her lap.
Wow.
So I then started reporting this, right? I said, this is sensory. But because I described the legs, they kept saying it's, and I'm going to get it wrong, akathisia, which is a movement disorder. But some people have done studies on it, said it also is quite a disturbed brain thing. We discovered as time went on and we kept observing, and at that time she had a very good psychologist who was listening, and then she got a psychiatrist who listened, and between them they started recording it all.
The dog knew, isn't that interesting? Yeah. The dog knew.
The dog was the one.
The dog knew, and the dog alerted you.
Yeah.
And was this the first dog or Mackie?
First.
This was the first dog. Isn't that extraordinary?
It was. And I've heard about dogs and medicine and, you know, how they pick up people with cancer and everything. Some surgeries, I'm told, now have dogs. But I was absolutely staggered because this dog forced me to learn. Then a few years later, when we moved, she doesn't do change well, and she was really going downhill. And because everything was flagged, I thought she was safe, so I asked for help. And she spent 2 weeks in hospital. And they upped the dosage of that drug. They added drugs after having worked out what she couldn't have.
So you say she spent 2 weeks in hospital.
Yeah.
Was this because of the move? Because of the
Yes, she doesn't move well. So she starts to withdraw. And because she was studying, I thought, nip it in the bud. It's well covered. Everybody knows. It's well flagged. But it was same area health, but different hospital.
And was the dog with her all this time?
Yep. And he started coming down the stairs. So the same thing was happening, only by this stage they've added a drug because she was reactive. She was toxic, but it was mistaken for psychosis, so they're adding drugs. And what ended up happening was she go to bed, same thing, very debilitated, only now she's becoming quiet, can't cope with anything, the bookshelves have come downstairs. It was absolutely, can't describe it, but the dog would be down the stairs first and he'd be butting me in the knees and the legs. And I'd just step out of the, away from the staircase into the hallway and the bookshelf would come flying down.
Uh-oh.
So it was horrific. It affected every sense, every part of her body. Absolutely, really serious.
Is Jennifer able to communicate with you? Is she able to communicate how she's feeling?
No, and she won't admit to pain anyway. Because pain means hospital.
So really, the dog is almost like the conduit.
Yes, he is.
Between her and you, as far as how she's feeling, isn't
it
interesting?
For a nightmare, she had a lot of nightmares, and a lot of them were reliving these experiences because they can be quite violent. Those experiences
towards you?
No. Say she has a nightmare and she's screaming out. So her neighbours call the police because they think it's domestic.
Oh,
the police all turn up and the ambulance turn up, and then they throw her down and eject her.
Oh, so and then more drugs.
Yeah. And so this drug thing keeps happening.
Mm.
And then they put her in the ambulance and they take up. And then that tends to be the way the response in the psych ward. It can be. And so somebody who's toxic is not going to get better on drugs. They're going to get worse.
So she needs to come off all those drugs. Yeah.
And so it really got very, very severe to the point the GP was begging. And we got me and said we've got to join private hospital insurance. And we had a private psychiatrist who eventually negotiated over 2 months. She was just getting worse and worse because they'd added a third drug. He got her admitted to Mayo Clinic in Tarree. And he's a psychiatrist there. So it was a long journey. It was 9 months altogether in the end. They brought her off the drugs. The pharmacist was already advising us to stop the oral ones. It was just, I don't know how to describe it, horrible.
Yeah.
So but for her, it was terrible. For me, it was 24/7 care.
Yeah. At what age did Jennifer start exhibiting this sort of anxiety or depression?
She had trauma at 16, and that's when she first had an antidepressant, and she did react. She had suicidal reaction. She's a very, very bright girl. She was at Brisbane State High. She studied health and PE, and she was a tennis player and a hockey player and all that. So she was really into nutrition, and so she knew her body incredibly well. In fact, she studied all the medical charts for the muscles and meridians and nerves, and she recognised something was terribly wrong when she started taking this drug. She said, it makes me think about suicide all the time.
Oh, dear.
So we halved it, and she kept a diary, and a week later she said, Mum, I'll be dead. So she stopped taking it. Interestingly, it is now a black box label, particularly for under 25-year-olds. So she was right. But that we didn't know then, she had genetic, pharmacogenetic issues, and that particular drug is one enzyme she's deficient. So she does metabolize very well, and it gets built up in her system, and she becomes toxic.
Oh, goodness me. So there's lots and lots and lots of horrible contributing factors. Yeah. How old is Jennifer now?
She's now 40.
Okay.
But she thinks she's 30 because it's been 10 years.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Yeah.
So she doesn't have birthdays or anything.
Right.
That's not on her agenda.
When she was growing up, was there a dog in the house when she was growing up?
Yeah, she had a dog. And, oh, well, the children had a dog. She had she had guinea pigs, rabbits, a turkey, chooks, donkey. We're in the country. So she had a lot of animals, and she was brilliant with animals.
Oh, isn't that lovely? Yeah.
And she's got a natural, I don't know, she can just, the donkey, didn't matter what it was. We're trying horse therapy at Bargo. They put the dog in the car because she wouldn't get out. So they put the dog in the car, and eventually she'd get out with the dog or go and get a chook. They put a chook in the car once. But she walked amongst the horses. There were adjustment horses and there were therapy horses. She could just walk in, and there were quite a few of them all come up to her.
Yeah, so, isn't it extraordinary? Animals just have this sense, don't they?
Yeah, she has a natural, she doesn't make much noise. She's fairly quiet when she's with animals.
Okay.
But yeah, it's great.
Well, animals calm her, and she obviously, animals in turn, obviously respond to that.
Yeah, and with the horses, because you can get on the backside of the horse, you might get kicked, but she could stand, like be one behind and one in front, and she was leading them around. But she couldn't do the journey. It was too much abdominal pain. So
what the journey down to Bargo, you mean? Okay.
Couldn't cope with sitting that long. We just had end that for now until hopefully we resolve whatever problems are in there.
So can you just tell me a bit about the relationship that has developed between Jennifer and Mackie? Because I'm looking at him now as if butter wouldn't melt in his mouth. The listeners can't see him, but he is absolutely adorable. Was it love at first sight when she saw him?
Yeah, she'd be going around saying, he's gorgeous. In fact, I think she just had an emergency hysterectomy, and she's walking around, there's little things walking around beside her. It was wonderful for her.
Sweet.
She was once very good at training. She trained her other dog. This one she's not able to train, so... But the other one was before the delirium and all of that. This one's afterwards. Although she had these reactions continually, we were always able to stop the drugs. And then she would recover. But then it, you know, changed.
I know Mackie, to all intents and purposes, is a therapy dog, a working dog. Is he on call 24 hours a day, or is there such a thing as doggy respite?
Oh, yes. No, he's got to have time off.
So what happens then?
We've actually done a few things in our house. We've got a side gate, doggy door in the side gate. There's a doggy door in the house. If he's had enough or he wants time out, he'll just go off, find his own little spot. He's allowed to go walking with support workers and sniffing.
Okay.
But he can't sniff when he's got his vest on.
Yeah. I mean, he's very cute, and he's obviously a really integral part of your family.
Yeah.
I wonder if you can describe life before and after Mackie.
She was waking disturbed at night. I'd have to get up and sit with her. If she's waking now, you can put him on the bed and she'll just feel him. That's very calming, just to be able to feel that connection.
Mm. Was it noticeable before you got Mackie that she wasn't able to calm herself?
The nightmares were pretty bad. She does self-regulate. She disassociates, and she has ways of managing. the timing is much longer. So I would have to spend a lot of time with her, trying to calm her as well. With the dog, it's much, much quicker. It's almost like she feels a responsibility to him, I think. So it's quite good.
Yes, I guess having that responsibility.
But, you know, look, the dog, he's not just close to her. I mean, all her support workers, everyone's close to the dog now. You know, there's so many people that are part of his life.
Do you think he understands the vital role that he plays, probably not only in Jennifer's life, but I guess in your life and the support workers?
Well, I think he guards me. We're trying to ease him out of that. So people come walking past on the street, he'll start barking if he's on the balcony. So we're working on that at the moment. But he definitely knows when he's working. Like that day in the hospital, from the time he was in the ambulance, and they actually said, this is Jennifer's therapy dog, and he saved the day. Because that's a very traumatic experience, the ambulance.
It would have been, yes.
And having him sitting on her was great. And then he was on a fair bit of the time in the hospital. Especially if they want to do some kind of put something in the cannula or do something, we put the dog on him. So, yeah, he knows he's working.
Were the people in the hospital okay with that?
Yeah, they were good. Actually, one of the support workers came in and took him out to go to the toilet and have a bit of a run. And she was coming back and they said, this is the best therapy dog we've had in the hospital.
Oh, isn't that lovely? Isn't that lovely?
It is. Yeah. We're really, really pleased.
Yes. Yeah. So, are you involved in the training,
Karen?
I've
got to do it. I've got to do the test. So I have to do the training. So I've done a lot of work on the basics to start off with. But now this, you've got to sit, then you've got to sniff. It's quite funny because you want to sniff every bush on the way to the shops.
Of course, he's a dog.
And that is hard. So we've decided the shops are not working. Except in the shops, he's very good.
Just tell me a bit about your receiving training.
The trainer that we get, we first met her by going to a puppy class. And then we talk with her. And she's looked at different things that he needs. So we've also been to some advanced classes with someone else. When it comes to therapy training, because, you know, a lot of dogs, the guide dogs, the assistance dogs for people with physical disabilities, a lot of those are trained and then people get the dog already trained.
Right.
With some disability, a brain injury, I'm not sure about intellectual disability, I think, and mental health, the dog comes to the person, they can train their own dog. So I felt the type of dog was really important, you know.
Sure.
That's why we didn't get a rescue, because you don't know whether they've got trauma or something beforehand. So we decided to start with a dog that would be responsive to training. And they really have to be 2 years to start properly.
When you got Mackie, he was already 2 years old, wasn't
he? No, he was at 8 weeks.
Oh,
so
a real puppy.
We were really training him.
Oh, okay.
All of the normal dog training stuff we were doing from quite a young age.
Mm.
But around 18 months, I don't know, he started to be a teenager.
Smoking and drinking.
All of that. And I don't think you meant to train them until they're two. They've got a certain change. Up until two, say she went to the shopping centre, the mall, she starts disassociating inside that mall straight away. So it's quite difficult. You've got a support worker with her. And I'd let security know that she was there. They don't go near her, but they help. One time the dog was with her, and I said, oh, the dog's walked in. And they said, don't worry, we'd rather the dog was here. So actually, then even before he got his vest, he was going into shops and that with her, where they preferred the dog come with her.
You mentioned that he wears a vest, and I can see that he's wearing a vest now.
Yep.
What age and what stage did he start wearing a vest?
So he was about 18 months, I think. Just after 18 months. Might have been 20 months. So he's probably had it for 4 months. So that's when they really begin the serious training. You've got to go buses, shops, you know, everything.
Okay.
He had been into the hospital without his vest before because, again, they could see the benefits. So
yes.
On that one occasion, he started then, particularly because the trainer would take him to the shop.
And when the trainer was taking him to the shops, was the trainer also training you to take him
to
the shops?
So I didn't go every time.
Okay.
She'd go and do the work first. Then I'd go with her and she'd show me how it was done. By that stage, he was responding quite well. So instead of me bungling at the start, she'd do the first work, get him all more or less there, and then I'd do it. And then every time we went out, I'd do it, just him and myself.
Okay. How much more training have you got to go? Mackie's doing quite well.
Yes, once he's got that vest on, yeah. It's interesting, isn't it?
Can I just tell everyone that the dog has not put a foot wrong. He's sitting in the studio next to Karen with his vest on a mat and has not moved a muscle. He's just gorgeous.
I think the hospital's a hard job. We had one, actually, I'll tell you, a very funny incident. I put him on the floor because I thought he needed a bit of a break. He started seeing shadows of people walking past the curtains, so that was going to be a problem. So I trained him on that. Can't bark. No, that's all right. But apparently his tail was wagging under the curtain, and some ambos came in with a patient, and they said, "Oh, God, there's someone on the floor." And they got down and I heard, "Oh, it's a dog." Yeah, the response was really good, though. So I'm me. Oh, I think I've got a lot more training to do. It's things like this. The sniffing is the hardest one. Mm-hmm. That is the hardest. We on command. But we never have a problem when we go anywhere. He's not trying to wee inside anywhere. I'd like to think he could do a train trip to Melbourne and then just get out on a platform. That would be the test.
How would Jennifer cope with a train trip to Melbourne?
Well, she's about 4 or 5 years ago. We did the night train, so we took the sleeper. So we had appointments with people who knew more about her condition. We arrive in the morning, you know, first thing, so I'd have someone pick us up and we could go straight. Not easy to get into an appointment, but if we had the dog, that would be the one constant, you know, so I'd like to be able to try that.
Yeah. You've told me that Mackie accompanies Jennifer wherever she goes. I just wondered, are there ever some situations where entry to a building or public transport has been questioned?
Some places, I won't name the companies, we actually had to get his card out of his vest and show them and explain that it's actually discrimination not to allow an assistance dog. Like, for instance, they go in an aeroplane now, these dogs, Qantas won't allow them on, so we're looking at another, for not that we'll be going on aeroplanes, but just in case you want to go and see her brother who lives in Spain.
Would she be able
to? Not at this point. No, not at this point. We wouldn't even get her in a doorway. Mm. She won't go in a door, or she doesn't know what's the other side.
Have there been any embarrassing moments with Mackie or your previous dog?
I've probably got photos of embarrassing moments. He likes to curl up in things. Sometimes I've been to places and you find him curled up in someone's hat or something.
No, this isn't an embarrassing moment at all, but I just wondered, who picks up the poo?
Oh, well, we all have to do that.
Does Jennifer do that?
Not at the moment, no, but whoever's with her. There's always a support worker with her. Interestingly, the females have no problems. Some of the males do.
Yeah.
But it's quite interesting because we've got poo bags and everything. It's quite simple, but that seems to be a gender thing, I think, about picking up the poo. But around the house, we've got one of those scoop things.
Yeah.
And he's pretty considerate. He goes out to the front where there's concrete.
Karen, who grooms this gorgeous dog? He looks so immaculate. Someone's done a very good job on him.
Well, apart from all of us having to brush him regularly because he knots, one of Jennifer's support workers is also a dog groomer. So she does both. She does her business and she does support work. Claire is reteaching Jennifer to groom her dog. She used to groom, and not only that, she used to groom for other people. She'd charge $20 and do theirs, but post-morbid, she's memory is not as good. But she's very good when she gets the clippers. She does it quite well.
Who, Jennifer? Really? She does the dog herself? Wow.
With the support worker, with Claire.
Yeah.
So she's assisting her to do it, but she'll stop halfway. But she obviously muscle memory is still there, so she knows what to do. It's just sequences are not there.
And probably doing that gives her an extra bond with Mackie.
Yeah, it's great. And they wash. But he does need grooming at least once a month. because he grows very fast. They're the kind of things we're trying to do, is relearn skills.
Yes.
So that's all great. Yeah.
I understand, which I suppose is not very surprising at all, that the gorgeous Mackie has his own social media followers. Can you tell us a bit about that?
So one of the support workers said he should have a social media page. Now, I'm not up in social media, Facebook and Instagram, but that every week they'll put photos up or whatever, and he's getting a rather large following. On Instagram, he has many dogs following him, but quite a few people follow him on Instagram. So we put Twitter up too. So now I've learned to use Twitter, not the other two, but I've learned to use Twitter.
So if people want to have a look at him on Instagram or Twitter, how do they do that?
I think he's Mackie Therapy Dog in training. So they enjoy doing it too, the support workers.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
And it makes him part of all of them together. They're all very fond of him.
Of course they are.
So it's great. Yeah.
Karen, it's been an absolute delight talking to you and learning all about Jennifer and Mackie, and I hope things go well for her and for you. Thanks very much.
She's got a great medical team, so hopefully things will go really well.
Yeah, thanks very much. You too. Thanks so much. Bye-bye. Mackie's social media details are Mackie, Therapy Dog in Training. That's M-A-C-K-I-E, colon, Therapy Dog in Training. Links can be found on our website, where you can also revisit this interview, www.2rph.org.au/listen/animates www.2rph.org.au/listen/animates You have been listening to Animates. This program has been recorded in the studios of 2RPH Sydney for the RPH network. Our technical producer is Katie Brooks. Research by Joseph Schwanzer, and I'm Monica Fulton. Please join us again next time for more stories of animals and their mates.